Loving God, open our hearts and our minds to hear the voice of the shepherd speaking to us, to hear the wonder and the word of the Spirit within us, so that we might indeed love as we have been loved. Be with us now and speak to us, O Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Those are touching and familiar words, but also they're rather unfamiliar in other ways. How many of you in this past week have had any direct interaction with sheep or shepherds? Pretty good sized crowd, and I don't see a single hand going up. Because you see, I know, I'm not surprised, because I haven't. You know, it's almost like something I read from a British clergy magazine. Two sheep standing in a field. Bah, said one. Bother, said the other one. I was going to say that. 8 years ago, Julie and I went to the UK and Ireland. And in Ireland, we saw flocks and flocks of sheep everywhere as we were traveling around by rail. And little lambs gambling about, and one got the picture of a truly pastoral landscape. But oddly enough, on this Good Shepherd Sunday, I can't think of a flock anywhere close. Today, we have to go to the zoo or way out into the countryside to see sheep. Yet so much of the imagery that we have for our faith is based on this pastoral sheep and shepherd thing. Like, I am the pastor, the shepherd. Well, in truth, I'm more like the sheepdog, but more on that later. And you're the flock. You're the flock. But we don't really know what that means, do we? So sheep, shepherds, and suburbia simply don't seem to mix. Now, it would have been different in the time of Jesus. Certainly both the Old and the New Testaments draw on the image of sheep and of shepherds. So when David wrote the psalm, when Jesus spoke his words, sheep were everywhere. While most often it was the king, like David, who would have been seen as the shepherd in the ancient Near East, Israel developed a different motif. For Israel, it is the living God who is the shepherd, as the familiar words of Psalm 23 remind us. And it was out of that pastoral culture that Israel began to understand its relationship as a people to God. A shepherd cared for the flock and held the lives of its members in his hands. Thus, the psalmist isn't merely playing with a romantic notion. This psalm unfolds against the threat of want, against the threat of the shadow of death, and of the presence of enemies. Yet God's provident care and embracing love allows the flock to be gathered in safety and to live in peace. So the flock becomes an apt metaphor for the church. We are a community gathered around the Good Shepherd. As I said earlier, I may have the title pastor, but there is really only one shepherd. I would suppose that pastors are more like sheepdogs than shepherds. Now, this is in my study, and it was the going away present from the church in Madison. And the plaque reads, "The Lord is my shepherd. Thank you for being our sheepdog." Okay? The task of the minister is to function like the sheepdog. We run around the flock, barking, sometimes nipping at your heels a bit, to do one thing, to get you closer to the shepherd. That's our whole function, thus my earlier comment. John's Gospel, let me put this back. Thing is heavy. John's Gospel has the Good Shepherd giving us the description of how he relates to his sheep. He doesn't approach them as a hired hand, as someone who sees this only as a job, but as one who profoundly loves and cares for the sheep. The shepherd, unlike the hired hand who cuts and runs when there's danger, sees his welfare intimately tied up with the welfare of the sheep. The sheep then come to know the shepherd, to trust him, and to follow him, because they've come to know his voice and his care. The relationship of the gathered community, the church, to Jesus is like that of the shepherd to the sheep. Jesus says that the sheep hear and then follow. So the community of the Good Shepherd, the church, is a listening community. We need to hear the Lord speaking to us with the ears of our hearts. His word of life, his word of love, takes hold of us so that we then follow after him. We become his disciples, trying to live out the word that we have heard. Now, all sorts of voices are going to compete with that of the shepherd. These voices will seek to draw us away from the paths of life and love, to follow the path of narrow self-interest and of selfish behaviors. These voices will exhort us to distrust people who appear different from us and exclude those whose beliefs or thoughts or ways don't match ours. If we are to follow as we must, then we need to keep our ears, and the ears of our hearts especially, attuned to the shepherd's clear tones. And we do that by offering worship, by listening to and studying the scriptures, by meditating on them, and by prayer, in common and in private. And out of that hearing will come our following, because we'll want to conform our lives to that of the shepherd. Thus, the sheep hear and follow, while the shepherd knows and gives life. He knows us because he's become one of us, and he has shared our life. Even when we may turn away and seem changed from what we were, still he knows us, and he cares for us. And that's why Peter in Matthew's gospel would say, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." The life-giving word Jesus speaks tells us of God's love for us, of our worth, of our potential to be whole, to be truly human, as God designed us to be truly human. He modeled that word for us, Jesus did, on the cross, showing us the path of unselfishness. And so each of us, then, are called to come to life, to come to renewal in the risen Christ, who is the Good Shepherd. And the life of Jesus then offers us is the one with the Godhead, to be one with God. He prayed in John 17:22, "So that they may be one, Father, as you and I are one." And now he speaks of one flock, one shepherd. The fullness of life for us then is found in community with God and with one another. We are a flock gathered around the shepherd, so we need each other. Our community, the flock, is to be a place of unity, a place of all-embracing love and of life-giving acceptance. It's unfortunate that all too often churches don't look like churches because they've been deformed or they've been injured by selfishness or agendas or lack of love. The buildings may be there, but the community isn't. It's just a group of individuals. It's not a flock. I think Gordon Lathrop offers an apt description. He's a contemporary Lutheran theologian. In his book, Holy People, A Liturgical Ecclesiology. Ecclesiology is the study of the theology of the church. And this is what Lathrop writes. "The church is an assembly. The church is a gathering of people in a particular place who are together through concrete means, participating in the mystery of Christ, and so are being formed into the Holy Assembly. The church is not a collection of consuming individuals choosing religious goods according to their own self-perceived needs or desires. It is not a club supporting a particular ideology. It is not the audience for a speaker's eloquence, a choir's concert, or a priest's rituals. The local church assembly is itself, as gathering, the primary symbol. By its participation, by its communal mode of song and prayer around scripture reading, meal keeping, and bathing, it is being transformed into a primary witness to the identity of God and the identity of the world. If, as Lathrop says, we speak forth the very identity of God in the world, then we are to be a people of real love and of real care." How do we achieve this? Well, I think the reading from the Acts and John's first epistle give us glimpses. Peter and the apostles are hauled before the authorities because they've done a good deed in Jesus' name. They healed a man. Now they testify to the healing power of Jesus' love, even in the face of opposition and persecution. We're to be like that, doing good, being instruments of God's healing love, even when it's not convenient. The essence of God's love for his world goes out through us. In the words that we speak, in the things that we do, even in the thoughts that we think. A shepherd, a good shepherd, was willing to risk everything for the sheep. That's what John tells us Jesus did. And because he laid down his life for us, we're to lay down our lives for each other. John's epistle challenges us. John isn't interested in what we say we believe. John isn't interested in how we think on any level. John is interested in how we act. So he says, "Little children, let us love not in word or in speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth." This is the essence. This is what I like to call the Antioch test. Christians were first called Christian in Antioch. And that's because, what did they say about us? Behold how they love one another. Behold how they love. So to be in the community of the Good Shepherd is to be placed irrevocably in God's hand. We are brought into this community through Christ's identification with us. How, though, can we know that? Well, by listening for the shepherd's voice, hearing him call our names, knowing us and our needs. Listen, listen closely, and you will hear your name being called to come to the table. Come, eat and drink. Through simple signs of bread broken and cup poured out, we will hear his voice. Here then is the table prepared, and there is the overflowing cup. It happens here, in a community gathered to worship, around word and sacrament. And it continues and it grows as we leave this place and then live lives guided by the Good Shepherd, showing our faith by the way we live in the here and now. So here we are, sheep with a Good Shepherd in suburbia. Who would have thought it possible? And dear ones, fellow sheep, healthy flocks grow. Flocks that are well tended, flocks that are loved and cared for, produce. And it's that way with churches as well. The difference is that the shepherd is always tending. It's the flock that neglects to receive the care. We can only grow and prosper as we place ourselves in the hands of the Good Shepherd. I believe with all my heart that this flock is becoming healthy. All around me, I see signs in the desire for spiritual growth and in the offering of loving service. So together, let's continue to listen for the voice of the shepherd as he speaks to our hearts and speaks to us through each other. Together, let's follow in loving service, giving of ourselves as the shepherd did, who says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." If we hear and follow, we will be known and given life, especially as we let our following bear fruit in loving and unselfish deeds in everyday life. The Lord is our shepherd, and we are his flock, his community, his gathered people. Long ago, one of my favorite writers, Gregory of Nazianzus, blessed his people with these words, and I believe they're living words, and I bless you, my people, with these words today. May the God of peace, who chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, the smallest and youngest of Jesse's sons, shepherd of shepherds and guide of guides, be presented a splendid flock without defect, worthy of the heavenly sheepfold, the dwelling place of the blessed, in the splendor of the saints, so that we may all together, sheep and shepherd, sing his glory in the temple, in Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.